go ahead.
723 first and last.
I heard 723 first and last. 723, shall we gather at the river? First and fourth verse. Time for some more. Yes, Alita?
About 724
on Jordan's stormy bank, 724 first and fourth verse. Two more. Yes, Trudy. 364. One and three, 364. Something happened. Can you hear me okay? 1 and 3 of 364.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. We'll now continue with our worship service.
Thank you, Diane. Good morning and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. I'd like to welcome everyone here and especially our guests. You know the routine. Please sign in on using the white cards in front of you and place in the basket at the aisle. And I'd like to invite everyone for fellowship and snacks and coffee afterwards in the fellowship hall. Just go down the breezeway. And we're going to start with our July birthdays. So happy birthday to Alita, David, Tracy, Linda, Perry, Ruthie, and Young. Have a good birthday month. And for those of you that are taking vacation, please don't forget to still give your tithes and offerings to the church. There are still expenses for the church in the summer. And we have our next Parents' Night Out. So it'll be Friday, July 24th. Water Night. Cool, wet fun and cold treats. That'll be Friday the 24th of July, 6 to 8:30 p.m. Should be a fun night. Are there other announcements, Pastor? No? Anyone else? No? So please rise as you're able and join me now in the call to worship. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns even faints for the courts of the Lord. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you.
Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
And we will now sing our opening hymn, number 77, How Great Thou Art. Some time passing the peace of Christ to each other.
It's about 15, 16 hours from here.
No, from that, your mother's law.
Oh. About 11 hours. It's about
still,
5 hours. Yeah,
still?
Yeah. It's about 5 hours to St. George, maybe six. So another 10 or 11 hours up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, are you in the middle of Montana or
southern
part of Montana?
And now in St. George. So, yeah. But it's a nice drive. Once you get north of Cedar City, it's pretty nice in Utah. Well, I mean, you know the drive, right?
Kind of.
Once you get north of Cedar City, it kind of starts to get more green and cools off a little bit.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Hope I can catch some fish.
What do you catch?
Trout.
Well, really?
Yeah, it's trout in this.
Alrighty, so glad to have you in this beautiful sanctuary, and let us welcome our church members on Zoom.
Can you admit June, please, again?
Alrighty. Hey, Kenny is wearing pink in the forest somewhere. Are you taking a walk? Looks cool, Kenny. Alrighty, welcome to you, and welcome to Alicia and Destiny. Good morning to you, April and Bill.
Good morning, April.
Yes, did you hear that, April? Good morning to Chris. Chris always come to join the rest of the gang at the luncheon, but she's on Zoom rest of the time. And good morning to the one on iPad, very faithful one. And then is June trying to come in?
Yeah, she was in once, but it dropped her, I think. So
okay.
She's coming back.
Well, we'll recognize her when she comes back in.
We will now have the time to share our joys and concerns, so please raise your hand.
And I want to start with one thing, not this Saturday, but the next Saturday on the 25th. Mary Methodists are going to the Redlands Bowl to see Frozen. And there is also a PEO fundraiser at Panera. So if you like, we're going to stop there on the way and pick up food and make funds for our scholarships. And then we're going to go and eat it there so that we can get good seats. So that's the plan. There's a sign-up sheet that will be at Kathy's table in the fellowship hall when you get your script.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Got my hand back. I can't do that though. It because it was in the cast so long. Even this is a little bit painful, but it's coming back. So I was able to get my ring back on. Never forget Lorraine. Oh, yeah. Everybody's asking me what happened to Sophie, because she loves to come to church. Well, I'll word this the best I can. When we get out of bed in the morning, first thing we do is head for the patio, and she goes out and goes pee-pee, okay? Today, she didn't go, and I took her out 7 or 8 different times, and I still couldn't get her to go. I says, if you don't go pee-pee, you're not going to church. And so here I am by myself, and you should have seen the look on her face when she saw me walking out the door and take off. I'll probably get a bite when I get back. But yeah, it's nice to be able to function. Thank you, everybody, for your concerns and your prayers.
Next time, bring her anyway. We got plenty of grass.
Good morning. Lori Pertell here. Thank you for your prayers for Mackenzie. I was able to have lunch with her the other day. She's just winding down physically, you know, from the remnants of chemo, but she's done with her chemo treatments. So that's a blessing. She made it through all that with only one trip to the emergency room. She is scheduled, well, hopes to be scheduled for surgery within the next, hopefully 3 weeks or so, and that's a double mastectomy because this cancer is a very aggressive form and they don't want to take any chances. So just continued prayers for her and her family. She doesn't like to be told that she's a really strong, tough woman. I think she's hearing it too much now because that's just how strong she is. But so prayers for her continued healing. So thank you. And then Mark and I are hitting the road this afternoon right after service. So we ask for travel blessings as we go up and visit family for the next couple months. So thank you.
Mackenzie Phillips.
Farmer. Sorry, wrong one.
Just a side note, I won't be here next Sunday, but it's not because of Sophie.
Ron won't be here. He'll be out of state, so travel mercies for him. Also, my nephew and his family came Sunday last week, and they left Friday morning. They packed so much into their week, and they had a wonderful time, but I had a great time with them. They went to the regional park. We went to the desert hot spring spas for the pools. They spent a day at Catalina, and they went to Laguna Beach with my son and my daughter and my son's family. So they had a wonderful time, and I'm sure they're exhausted, but it was great to see them and have them.
Some of you probably saw my prayer request midweek for my sister, Dottie, who was in Florida on vacation and was ready to go home to Northern Virginia the next day, but instead took a side trip to the emergency room. And she was hospitalized and is still there. She was diagnosed with sepsis initially, and then the following day she had pneumonia and liver issues. So she's still in hospital in Florida, and I think she's getting better because she's fussing about the bed and the food. The other prayer request that I have is for Joanne Dyerly, who is having hip replacement this coming Tuesday, and at the same time, put in a prayer for Steve because he doesn't do very well without her.
Oh, it may be Wednesday.
Hi, my name is Pat Shores, and I'm going to stand up so you can see me because somebody gave me a wonderful hat today, and I think it looks great on me, and might as well let you see it. So I wasn't planning on saying anything about this hat today because I didn't know about it, but I was going to say that Allison and I will get to go down and see the twins this afternoon, and so my day is going to be perfect.
Thanks, Pat.
Now we have a cowgirl at our church.
Can I say something?
Anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand and I'll unmute you.
You are giving away cow hat? Thank you, Dan. Well, you gave me one.
Okay, we will now, if you will now join me in the unison prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, you have shown us that the riches of this world are fleeting, while the treasures of heaven endure forever. Keep us mindful that we are pilgrims on earth, journeying toward our true home in your presence. When our earthly race is finished, we shall at last be home free, welcomed into everlasting joy. May that blessed hope inspire us to live each day with joyful expectation of your kingdom. In your precious name, amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. We definitely need to continue our prayers for our churches, for our people, and for this nation. We also have been given many in our life circle. God gave them to us so that we can share the love of Christ with them. And we have spiritual responsibilities to care for them, nurture them spiritually, and pray for them as well. So let's continue our prayers. Dear Lord, we often face obstacles on the way. We deal with many challenges of this life. We deal with the challenges of our aging body. We see troubles, sometimes the repeated ones, sometimes a new trouble on the way. Despite all the obstacles on our way, we have come this far. Not because of our wisdom, our intelligence, our strength, but because of you in our life. You have provided for us, you have protected us, and you have guided us into the path where you want us to be. Because of you in our life, we are here today. Without you, O Lord, we just cannot imagine what would have happened to us and happened to our loved ones. You have been faithful companion, and we know with confidence that you will walk this long journey with us until the very end. So, Lord, despite all the troubles we see in our lives, personally and everywhere in this world, we can still trust in your loving care, and we can still rejoice. This life journey can be tough at times, but we can still rejoice because you are walking with us. So we thank you, Lord, for all that you do and that you will do for us. May we hold on to you no matter what, so that we can continue our journey by trusting you through receiving all that we need from your hand, and we know that we will be safely arriving in your kingdom someday. So we praise you, O Lord, for who you are and for the grace and mercy you have provided for us. And as we lift up our prayers now, we also remember the prayers for our loved ones. We ask you to continue to surround them with your presence, with your love, with your grace, so that they too may find strength in their lives. We ask you to continue to watch over this small congregation, but beautiful family of God. You have been the very source of sustenance for this church over 100 years, 110 years. And we pray that our church will continue to be here, shining your light to all those who need to see your light here in the community. We pray for all your churches that need the empowerment of your Holy Spirit, that need a spiritual awakening so that they may come back to you and come back to your word. We need you to awaken them, O Lord, and let them experience your living presence through the power of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, bring us back to you, and may your churches see you as you are. We also pray for our nation as well. We ask for the protection from our enemies, that we may continue to be the beacon on the hill, shining your light to so many who need that light in the world today. As we come together to worship you, O Lord, we recognize that you are our sovereign God. You have everything without exception under your control. So we submit our whole life, whole being to your care. And we pray that you continue to use us, even though we sometimes feel unworthy. But with the empowerment of your Holy Spirit, we can be the disciples that you want us to be in the world. So, Lord, we pray that you use us individually, use this church, use this nation to fulfill your will in the world today. So with that prayer, we now join the prayer that you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We will now sing hymn number 451, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading today is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If, then, the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. So glad to see you. I'm glad that we get this beautiful sanctuary to gather together and worship the Lord every Sunday morning. I pray that as we worship, we will have special visit from the Holy Spirit, who will come and touch us and talk to us individually, that we may hear the message that God has prepared for each of us for this morning. A young An enthusiastic preacher just started serving his first parish in a farming community. He was eager to grow his church and went out to meet as many people as possible and share the gospel. He spotted a farmer plowing his field and, concerned for the man's soul, called out, "Brother, are you laboring in the vineyard of the Lord?" Without even looking up, the farmer replied, "Nope, soybeans." The preacher smiled patiently. "I mean, are you a Christian?" The farmer shook his head. "No, sir, I'm Miller. Christian lives about miles south." The preacher wasn't anywhere near giving up, so he tried again. He asked, "Are you lost?" "Nope," said the farmer. "Been living on this farm all my life." Now determined to get through to him, the preacher raised his voice. "Well then, are you prepared for the resurrection?" The farmer finally stopped his tractor, took off his cap, and looked genuinely concerned. "When's it gonna happen?" The preacher's eyes lit up. "No one knows. It could be today, tomorrow, or the next day." The farmer let out a long sigh of relief. "Well, whatever you do, don't tell my wife." "Why not?" asked the preacher. "'Cause she doesn't get out much, and if she hears about it, she'll insist on going all 3 days. Resurrection and heaven may seem meaningless to those who do not believe in Christ. They assume that they live only once and then disappear into oblivion after death. Yet even for believers, heaven can seem distant, and we often give it far less thought than we should. Scripture calls us to fix our hearts on heaven rather than on this temporary life, because our life on earth is brief, while our life in heaven is eternal. Before Noah's time, people often lived for hundreds of years. After the flood, however, God limited the human lifespan to 120 years. Even that was later shortened, as Psalm 90:10 reminds us. Our days may come to 70 years or 80. If our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. I pray that everyone in this church will remain healthy and strong, and hope that many will even surpass the longevity of Helen Davis and Ed Elliott. Helen passed away just 3 months before her 106th birthday, while Ed lived to be 106 and a half. They enjoyed long and richly blessed lives, yet even a century of life is only a tiny fraction of eternity. Keeping that perspective changes the way we live. In Matthew 6, Jesus describes three lifestyles shaped by the reality of heaven. The first involves a new purpose. While everyone might spend the same amount of time working, some focus on accumulating earthly treasures, whereas others aim to store treasures in heaven. The key difference lies in their heart. People are deeply passionate about worldly things, but Jesus encourages us to give our heart and strength together treasures in heaven. The more, the merrier. I'll just adjust the sequence here. The second lifestyle is shaped by our attitude toward sustenance. Paul in 1 Timothy 6:10 stated that the love of money is the root of all evil. Money can damage relationship, leading to betrayal and even violence. It also encourages dishonesty. However, for believers whose hearts are focused on heaven, money can never replace God. The third one that affects our lifestyle concerns the eye. Jesus said that healthy eyes perceive spiritual truth of God and heaven, whereas unhealthy eyes cannot. While most people have good physical vision, not everyone can see the spiritual realm. This spiritual sight requires faith in God, understanding of His Word, and spiritual awakening through the Holy Spirit. A personal testimony from Dr. Michael Agnor explains it. He is a neurosurgeon who has performed over 7,000 brain surgeries and a professor at Stony Brook University. His education and practice did not lead him to Christ, but a personal experience involving his infant son led him to encounter God. After his youngest son was born, the baby didn't make eye contact or smile for a couple of months, seeming to look at his wife and him as objects. Dr. Agnew feared the child might have autism, which would hinder the connection between a child and loving parents. Neurologists said that it was too early to diagnose his son's symptoms. After 6 months, still without any progress in interaction, he was distressed and sought help at a Catholic hospital. On the way out, he happened to pass by a hospital chapel and went in. He had been an atheist and had never prayed in his life. At the altar, he said, "I do not know if you really exist, but if you are real, please take away my son's potential autism. I cannot tolerate the pain of my son not recognizing me as his father." At that very moment, he heard a clear voice say to him, the voice said, "But that is what you are doing to me." Overwhelmed, he begged, "Please take my son not autistic to me, and I won't be autistic to you." A few days later, on his son's 6-month birthday, the child was perfectly normal. This led Dr. Eggener and his family to faith in God. His son grew up healthy and attended law school. God's intervention through the Holy Spirit can open someone's spiritual eyes. And if you want to hear more about that testimony, you can look it up on YouTube, which is I found it. You can type, "Is the soul real? A neurosurgeon makes the case." Well, you can just type Michael Eggener, E-G-N-O-R, and there are more than several YouTube clips in there. And by the way, something that I learned from him and another neurosurgeon is that, you know, you have heard of that NDEs, right? Now with the advance of the medical technology, when they died, their heart stopped, and then even the brain, there's no brain activity, but they get to bring the people back to life. They resuscitate with their medical technology. With no heart beat and the no brain activity, that's medically dead. I mean, they call it near-death experience, but they are medically dead. And then almost 10%, 10 to 40%, they say, when they come back to life, they get to tell the story of what happened, right? And then a lot of times they explain their experiences with God in heaven. Now, the point that I learned and I'd like to share with you is that, think about it, the brain activity stopped, right? When there's no brain function, they still remember who they are, they still remember their past, right? And they still remember the encounter with God. So think about it. Brain is dead, but their still memory, somehow intellectual capacity works. So conclusion, including Dr. Eggener, is that the thought doesn't occur in the brain. That's what we think. It can feel the pain. It can stimulate the movement, but the thought doesn't occur in the brain. It's to me, that's the indication that we are spiritual beings, and the thought process is deeply associated with our spirit. Very interesting. You may not be able to understand. I couldn't quite understand when I heard the first time, but that to me makes sense. Anyway, realizing that heaven is real naturally leads people to change their purpose, their value system, and their perspective. Once heaven becomes real to them, they spend their days preparing to go to heaven by storing up treasures in God's kingdom. There is another change believers make. When heaven becomes real to them, the other side of heaven is real to them as well. While they devote themselves to life in heaven, they take every measure to avoid hell. This is what happened to the great spiritual revival in New England. While serving in Northampton, Massachusetts, Jonathan Edwards traveled to Enfield, Connecticut, and on July 8, 1741, preached a sermon titled, remember the sermon? Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, on the perilous condition of sinners. He compared that condition to spiders dangling by a slender thread over roaring fire. And he said that nothing but the sovereign will of God prevents sinners from falling into hell at any moment. Hearing the message, the congregation wept, moaned in distress, cried out for mercy, and even fainted. His sermon and people's reactions ignited a wave of revival and became the starting point of the first great American awakening, which spread through the colonies. I had a ministry in Northampton on Main Street called the Edward Church. It was a sister church from the Congregational Church that Jonathan Edwards served, just about probably 300 feet away. Very interesting. We rarely hear a preacher like Jonathan Edwards today. Yet the reality of heaven and hell remain unchanged. And we should open our spiritual eyes to what comes after this life and live in preparation for it. It'll be truly dreadful to fall into the hands of an angry God. Jesus wants us to avoid hell. Better yet, he wants us to be proactive in storing treasures in heaven. The good news Jesus brings to us is we still have time to prepare before we stand before him and settle account with him. Those who are prepared will receive reward. God has already blessed us for our services to him down here. But when we get to heaven, we will receive even more blessings, like heavenly bonuses. On Christmas 1996, As Christmas 1996 approached, the Kingston Technology Corporation of Orange County informed its 523 employees they would soon receive an extra special Christmas bonus. Having studied in the owner's garage in 1987, Kingston Technology, like many high-tech companies, had experienced explosive growth, to the point where it now was the world's largest supplier of add-on memory boards for personal computers. And each year, since the company had begun with just a handful of employees, the owners had followed a generous policy of giving 10% of the annual profits to its workers. Well, in 1996, another company, if you have heard of the SoftBank of Japan, bought Kingston Technology for $1.5 billion. The arrangement called for Kingston's owners to retain control of their company, and yet they decided to carry on generosity as usual. They gave 10% of a billion or so dollars to their employees as a Christmas bonus. With the bonus computed on the basis of a seniority and performance, that meant the average employee would receive $75,000 and the highest bonuses would reach $10,000. This story had only one downside. When it hit the national news, Kingston Technology was besieged by a flurry of applications for employment. But alas, they were not hiring. I actually looked it up on Google, and they still have, they posted the article about what they did on LA Times and New York Times and Virginia Tech and all that. The decision makers at Kingston Technology believe in giving lavish rewards to their workers. So does God. At the final judgment, the Christmas bonuses of this company will look like peanuts compared to the heavenly rewards God will shower upon those who have served him in this life. What is more, anyone who is willing is hired. The Bible teaches us so much about our temporal life as sojourners. God led Israel through the Sinai desert to teach them and us also how life runs. Until we cross the Jordan and enter our eternal promised land, we are traveling through down here. God designed Israel's desert life to be portable for that reason. They lived in tent, and even the tabernacle was a portable tent. We should make our lives light and simple so that we can live at any time at God's beckoning. You know what it means? It's about time that you clean out your garages. Israel constantly looked to the pillar of cloud and fire for direction. When God moved them, they moved. As God's people, we need to use celestial navigation and look heavenward to remind us that we are pilgrims. We are not here to stay, but are on the move toward the glorious destination. Amen.
We'll now have the presentation of our tithes and offerings. You may leave your donation at the table in the narthex or bring it to the office. And we will now have special music by Lori and Diane.
Before I start, I just wanted to say something about this song. Some of you may know it. I don't want to say how old it is, but the last time I sang it, I think I was 15 or 16 in my home church in Laurel, Montana. And when we were moving my mother this past February, she has a lot of music. And I came across this song, and I grabbed a couple songs, and this is one of them that I brought, and I want to share it with you today. It's called Reach Out to Jesus.
Is the life you're living filled with sin?
As we stand before you, Lord, we remember your goodness and your mercy, your blessings, your presence, all the wonderful things that you have poured out unto us. So with humble recognition, we give you this offering. We ask you to receive it, bless it, so that it may be used to build your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Our closing hymn today will be number 701, When We All Get to Heaven.
Supplies. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there'll be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the tolls of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there'll be.
We thank you, Lord, for the vision of heaven. We thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed, that we can bless you with, that we can store treasures in your kingdom. So, Lord, bless our hands and our work, that whatever we do it all for your glory. And that we will continue to build treasures in your kingdom while we are still down here.
So we ask you to empower us, motivate us, enable our hands on everything we do, that we may build your kingdom here on earth while we store treasures in your kingdom. So bless us, O Lord, in all we do, and send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Oh, He will guide you in all you do. Oh, now in love. Can see God will be there from above, now in peace.